Lord Jesus, we thank you because your presence is here with us today. We thank you, Lord, because we are your elect. And we thank you, Lord, because you empower us with your spirit to go and accomplish exploits. We thank you, Heavenly Father, because we know your purpose. We know your plan. We know your plans for each and every one of our lives. And we know that you have called us to fit in a specific place in your plot for this end time. And we thank you, Father, because you elected us to be alive at this special time, a time unlike any other, when we are partakers and we are laborers in the vineyard before the great ingathering, before the great harvest that has been prophesied, a harvest unlike any other. And we are a part of it. We are laborers in that vineyard. We are participants in it. We are the ones you're using to get it in as we prepare for the return of the King. Now we thank you, Father, because this is our purpose. And this is what consumes us. This is what we want to see. I thank you, Lord, and I pray that this urgency seeps into each and every heart today, that we shall know that we can no longer live the way we once lived, but that the days are few and that each one of them must count in our lives. We thank you, Heavenly Father, because this realization seeps into each and every one of our hearts and our minds and affects everything that we do. And we shall not be like those servants who were put over the household. And when the master came, he found them sleeping. He found them when they had been taken up by drunkenness and carousing. But we shall be like that servant of whom it is said, blessed is he whom when his master comes shall find him giving food to the house in due season. For his master shall guard himself up and serve him and make him over, put him over many cities. Now I thank you, Father, because we are those servants. We are the servants whom you come and find doing what you've called us to do. And then you put us over great cities. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Do you remember this guy? Yeah, tell us what happened.
Praise the Lord. My name is Arthur, and I'm here to give a testimony about my life and what happened here on the 23rd of February. They called me out because I had suicidal thoughts. But these suicidal thoughts have a history. And this history starts in 2013. When I came from here, and all of a sudden I was down here. And I lost everything. And I got so depressed. I was in a dark place. Really, really dark.
Okay. So tell us, what happened after that day? Have those thoughts come back?
Actually, I didn't have any of those thoughts because you just reminded me how I was. Mm. And I thought about it. I said, I was sleeping well. I wasn't thinking about death. Even the things that used to trigger me, I just looking at them, just they're not bothering me at all. Mm.
Yeah. So, and tell us about your family.
My family, my God. I even learned more after that. Because I learned that I had a brother who used to boil waraji and drink it. I had other cousins who were quiet, but they were so depressed. And they tried to commit suicide on several occasions, and no one knew about it.
Okay.
Then there was one who was admitted in hospital for mental illness. Mm-hmm. And the day of Holy Communion, actually, he told us to say the names. Mm-hmm. And I said his name after taking the bread and the wine. Mm. And he was discharged on Monday.
Amen.
So no more suicide in your family, in the name of Jesus. You actually have an uncle who actually committed suicide. Eh? Two uncles. Eh? Okay, no more suicides. Eh? There was somebody else whom I told, where is she? You are scared. Eh? What's your testimony?
Praise God. I'm called Immaculate. In December, the watchman gave a word that there was someone whose salary was going to be increased. So he was moving around giving that word. But on Thursday, I'd gotten a dream when my salary was increased. So when you gave the word, it was like a confirmation, because I needed a confirmation. Then actually in Jan, my salary was increased, actually doubled. And then I had to come and give a testimony. Then before that...
Actually, I did not say increased, I said doubled.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Then before that, I got a problem at work. Seems me and my boss, my immediate boss, we are not in. Yeah. So we were not in good terms because she really wanted my place. I don't know, she wanted to put someone there. Then she connected me with some theft that happened at work. So I was fired. So for a week, I was at home. Then 3 days afterwards, the personnel manager called me to discuss how they are going to pay me off. Then on Friday, after fellowship, I don't know, I felt I had to pray. I don't know, something was inside me and I had to pray. Then I remember the watchman's word when he said turning tables at midnight and consolidating at 3 p.m. So I prayed the whole night, and then early in the morning, I was called back for the job.
Praise the Lord. Any other testimonies? Yeah, come. What were you suffering from?
I was diagnosed with a heart condition where my valves were shutting down.
Your valves were shutting down?
Yes. I came here.
You
prayed and I was healed. I went back for a checkup.
You went for a checkup?
Yeah.
When did you go for a checkup?
They went for the checkup earlier this year. And they told me my heart is totally fine. Then last time when you...
When did I pray for you?
No, you didn't. It was, I just came, and then we were praying. Then you were like those people who were, I think that time we were still the other side. Then I believed that I was going to be healed. And when I went back, there was actually... Then last time when you were praying for, I think the other week, when you were praying for people, I was again diagnosed. I had a very serious, had ulcers, it were very serious. So you told me, I remember you said, in this fellowship there are no people with ulcers. We are going to believe there is nothing. So you prayed, and I just felt an instant healing. I felt the pain leaving my body. And it was like that. Even last week when we came back, there was nothing.
Okay.
So I'm totally fine.
Okay, so now you can eat anything.
I can eat anything.
You can eat matoke.
Yes.
Eh?
Yes.
Okay, and even kamuradi.
Yes, I can eat everything.
You can eat everything.
Yes.
Glory to God. Uh-huh. So, who else? Yes.
For me, it was my mother.
Mm.
You asked people to stand up who had people who were sick.
Mm.
My mother is actually old. She's around 82.
Mm.
She fractured her femur.
Yes.
So she had 2 operations so far.
Mm.
Now, ever since she fractured her femur, she was not able to stand.
Mm.
And that was like 3 months, 4 months ago.
Mm.
So she had a second operation the Wednesday before we came here on Friday.
Mm.
So on Friday, I stood as a point of contact.
Mm.
And she was discharged on Monday.
Mm.
And ever since then, she's told us she's had one of the most peaceful nights she's had so far. Because in the previous 4 months, she'd really been in very tremendous pain. She was crying, she was what. But for the last 2 days, she said that she's had one of the most peaceful nights.
Mm.
And she's now even able to gather strength to begin to stand.
Okay. Okay. Yes.
Praise God. I think a month ago, 4 weeks ago, I developed a cough. It was a simple cough, so you think I can get amoxicillin. So I take the first dose. The cough rests for 3 days. Then the cough starts again. I mean, the second week, I get another dose. The cough after 1 day, the cough comes back again. Now, I kept changing. Now, I began experiencing difficulty in breathing. Like at this time, this cold, I could not breathe. I'm scuffing myself. I'm putting on sweaters. And I'm like, what's happening? Then I get very acute headaches. Then my joints begin to ache. So I begin to get as if I'm getting asthmatic. Somehow, in my place of work, I meet a lot. So we're in meetings. But I'm always the one in the meeting with a cup of tea with every 5 minutes. And it feels so bad. So I spoke to my sister. And she's like, hey, I've let her fight. I'm like, you know what, Gloria? These things, I think it's spiritual. Because when I get to work, that's when I begin to feel like this. So I said, now, God, I'm going to go for prayers on Friday and believe. And when I came from the car and I sat there, I said, ha, I don't have a shawl. How am I going to handle? Then, you know, you begin. But when I said the praising, my chest is fine. I am not, you know, clearing it all the time. I really give God the glory.
Anybody else? Is it about healing? About graduating? Okay, you come. Quickly, yeah.
Praise the Lord. My name is Papa Kembo. This is a graduation outfit. I was doing masters in leadership and organizational development. At a certain stage, I reached a point where I was not going to graduate. I rushed to our beloved watchman. I explained everything to him. Fancy it. He prayed for me within 2.5 minutes. The rest is history.
It's bad, isn't it?
So I give God the glory. I give God the honor. And watchman, thank you very much.
Yes, you have a testimony.
Yes.
Very quickly. Quick.
I hope. Okay.
I'll cut you short. Eh?
Okay. I had last year, I began developing painful periods. And while we are still up there, I used to pray for people with such conditions, I would believe, but somehow I wasn't getting healed. I remember the last time you preached at Zoe, oh, it was terrible. I remember the moment you began preaching, I began sweating and I was in a lot of pain. I went to the bathroom. Actually, I booked one bathroom for myself because I was throwing up and doing the other one, and I was in terrible pain.
So when did you get healed?
December. I remember the last meeting you said that if you still have this condition, that means you don't want to be healed. And I was kind of icked by that. I went back, but I refused to get angry at you. So I went home, because the pain, there's no way you can say that you really want to keep in that condition. So I went back home, and I was asking what was happening. Why am I? I prayed. And I got a dream. Papa, didn't
you go, you okay, got a quickly.
Okay, I'm trying. So that night, I got a dream. I don't know, it was, anyway, between a dream and a trance. When I was going back to sleep, I heard someone walk behind our house. And I was like, I didn't want to check who it was because I wanted to sleep. But then immediately I found myself in one of the bedrooms and I saw the gate was open. The windows were open. I know they were locked, but I saw everything else. They were open. There were two cars outside with men inside, and there were kids in my house. And so I grabbed them, asking them what they were doing, very angry. They didn't say anything to me. I dragged them outside of the house, and they were not talking to me. Then I noticed there was a man coming from the toilet, from the pit latrine. And so I was like, I kept asking the kids what they wanted. Then finally, a little one about maybe 4 years said, they sent us for eggs. And in the neighborhood, I don't sell eggs. In the neighborhood, no one sells eggs. So I was thinking,
eggs.
Okay. I'm a G. So I asked them who sent them. They didn't say anything else. And I thought that these kids are lying. I kunyad them, and I didn't say anything more. So you woke up. I woke up.
Uh-huh.
And I knew what was happening. These guys looked like businessmen. Eh? Mm. So for me, I knew that every month they came for my eggs, productivity. You get? Through kids, using kids that can go through windows and they won't talk. You ask them, they will not tell you anything. So I kept asking myself why I was not getting
So you healed. Prayed?
I prayed.
And then now you no longer?
Nothing.
Amen.
I'm super.
Okay. Praise the Lord. You know when you say something about painful periods and a guy, women say, what do you know about that? But we are speaking by faith. Eh? The reason she almost got angry with me is that you're a man. What do you know about what? Praise the Lord. Okay. Luke 13. Now, I thank God today that so many people are coming to me asking me about their purpose, their specific purpose in life. Eh? Exactly what they are supposed to do. Praise the Lord. Now, as we told you that this whole dominion thing, it requires everybody to stand in their place. And if somebody does not stand in their place, the system short circuits a bit. Praise the Lord. And now we have to all stand in our places because we have to wait as we wait for the judgment seat of Christ. Eh? Everybody has to know what their specific purpose is on earth. And the reason we teach end time is so that you understand that now there was a life we lived way back. Praise the Lord. Now, reminds me of way back when you just get saved and you move from conference to conference to conference all over town. Eh? But those days there were so many good things happening. So you move, you hear there's a conference here, you go and you of course walk eh? Because you don't have money, but you don't need it. Eh? Because all you need is sneakers, which of course after some time starts smelling, but that's okay. And a jean and then a t-shirt. So if you hear the conference is in Chibuye, prayer palace, you walk and go to prayer palace and walk back and the next day walk back. And it's not a problem. Okay, if you can get something to eat. Eh? Now, so went through that time. Now, that song that Inkosi Yamakosi song, eh, reminds me of those days when I just got and saved. Eh? I used to pray on that song for days. And then you just fast for fun. I don't remember a time when I would just fast for fun. Eh? And you come out of a fast and say, I think I should go into another one. And into another one. So you come out of 3 days, eat for 1 day, then say, let me do another two, then somehow, and then sometimes even when you're walking those distances, you actually are fasting. Eh? But I discovered that every foundation, every ministry foundation, starts like that. Eh? The foundation of some of the things that eventually happened in my life, I prayed myself into them back then. When you seem to be doing nothing, you just wake up in the morning, and somehow I was staying with a sister of mine who would feed me. So just wake up and pray. Have breakfast, have something to eat, and pray, 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 pray. So I play that song, which, you know, I wish the choir would sing the whole of it, eh, because it brings out some of the best memories for me. Eh? I didn't even know what the words are until I saw the interpretation here. I didn't know what they mean, but I knew somehow they were good words. Eh? And they blessed me. They blessed me those years ago. So, and just pray. 1 year passes. The second year passes. And like, you know, everybody outside, outwardly, looks and says, you should be getting a job. You're wasting time. You should be doing this. But you know, the thing is, it's because they don't understand, like, the way God works. Because that foundation is extremely important for everything you're ever going to do out there. Amen? Now, it is the enemy, through the system of the world, who puts it in people's minds that all you need to do is some activity. And I see those things by these rich people who are telling people how to be, that by all means, just get off your, you know, and go and do something. Go and do something. Make sure you're doing something. Make sure you're doing something. But you know, the world is full of people doing something and they are going nowhere. But the people themselves who know the way the spirit world works know there is a law. Before you go out to do something, you have to first construct it within yourself. And that construction within yourself is the most important thing. It's the one which sets the tone for whatever it is you're going to do. Amen? So you can say, okay, God called me, let me go and start a ministry. But then God is saying, no, don't start. First chill. I remember some guy, he had a lot of knowledge, and all of you know him, but God told him, just sit down for 2 years. Don't do anything. And he would just go to Zoe, sit down, listen, go back home. He said, don't even talk to anybody. When you finish, because he talks a lot, eh? So he said, when you finish, as soon as Zoe finishes, go back home. Now, in 2 years, that's all you're doing, and by God's instruction. And there's something God is trying to establish. And now that's the most important thing. Now, if that foundation is not set, everything that you do afterwards, that's why people go up to a certain stage and then the ministry collapses. Then you see somebody was promising. And I've seen so many people like that throughout the years because there was no foundation of what they started. Praise the Lord. Now, God is so interested in that preparation time because the things, the wonderful things can happen in a very short time. Do you understand? But if, now that's the story of Saul and David. Saul is told, today you're going to become king. Go down the road, you'll meet prophets prophesying, and then afterwards the Spirit of God will fall upon you, then afterwards you become king. And that very day, Saul became king. Isn't that wonderful? But he messed himself up because he was not ready. Then God shows you the other way. David is told to be king. It takes him 13 years before he even steps on any throne, and 20 years before he becomes the king of all of Israel. But he was prepared. And that's why he is given such a great name throughout the generations, that even the Messiah is called the Son of David. Even the New Jerusalem is called the City of David, because God first prepared him. And that preparation is not easy. I want you to understand that. Because I remember when I read that thing when he said that I would have fainted if I had not believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Now, when you're going through that time of squeezing, when God is preparing you, and you know, and it's so not comfortable. And actually, I would have fainted, meaning I would have given up. And some people actually give up. But then you remember that I believe I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Not there when I die, in the land of the living. Now, when you see somebody saying that, I would have fainted, but I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. God called me, but it is so hard. Everything is not working out. There is not a single thing working out. And what you have is a promise from God. Praise the Lord. And then, the crown is brought to him one day. Just like that. One day somebody comes and says, Saul has died and Jonathan has died. We brought you the crown of Judah. Now that's the easy part for God. The difficult part is to prepare you. Praise the Lord. So that when that crown comes, you also don't mess yourself up the way Saul did. Now, I don't even know why I'm saying that, but I just felt I had to. Now, if you really, really understand the workings of God, you will not despise that time when he's preparing you. Because when great things fall on you, it even could be great money. Money can destroy somebody who is not ready for it. Amen? So, sometimes, God will even just put you down. Now, I know people who are like that, who I know are going to be very rich. And I know it. They are going to be very rich. But they go through tough times where they have to believe God for the next meal. And I know that that is part of the preparation. Now, when you get to that stage, even the other guy last week who gave us his testimony, you remember, the guy of garlic. Even him, like, I knew what he was going through. And I know it is painful. Because I've also gone through it. And I know it is painful. But I know it is for the good. Eventually, God is preparing you for something powerful. Amen? And when you get there, you will be ready. You will not mess yourself up. You will do exactly what you are supposed to do. Glory to God. Okay. Now, everything in all this, what I want to tell you to do is about purpose, the law of purpose, and why it is important for us, why it's important for each and everybody, not just to do things the way we used to do them before. Because now we are living in the end of the end times. Praise the Lord. Now, this year, last year, America announced that they were going to shift their embassy to Israel, embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. And we kind of thought it was going to take so many years. But now this year, Trump changed his mind and said that the embassy will be in Jerusalem by May 14th this year. And that is the 70th anniversary of the state of Israel. On the exact date when the state of Israel was formulated 70 years ago in 1948, the embassy is going to be moved to And now other countries are following. Now these things are all significant because it is a start of something. It is a start of a time unlike any other time. Praise the Lord. Now seeing that Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, okay? And the second dream he had, which troubled him. And there was this big tree, and it says that the birds fed from it. Everybody, you know, all the animals took shelter in it, and all the people, everybody, it was the tree. And Daniel interpreted the dream and said, you, Nebuchadnezzar, that tree, God has given you authority over the whole world. Now, there was one thing about, you know, authority over the whole world. And there was no place where, and he says, Daniel says, there is no place where Nebuchadnezzar's authority was not felt. Now, but the thing is, God was trying to, Nebuchadnezzar was a system. He was not just a ruler. He was a Babylonian system from which everybody fed. The whole world fed through it, that system. But there's one thing, the person at the top believed in his own deity. He believed he was God. So that's why he set up an image and said, image of himself, and said, anybody who does not worship that image will be thrown in a fiery furnace. Amen? Now, so you know a bit of that, what happened there. But there's something that I want us to see in Daniel chapter 3 and verse 28. Yes. Now, you know what happened, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, or Hananiah, Azariah, and whatever. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants, who trusted in him, and who have frustrated the king's word. Somebody say, frustrated the king's word. Now, that is your call in this generation. Like, the persecution of the church has never been like it is now. Praise the Lord. Never. I was seeing how in India, the Prime Minister, Modi, is a strong Hindu and actually a very strong spiritist. He's the one who brought even all those gurus, those Buddhist gurus, at the World Economic Summit in Davos. So he's a deep spiritist. And now, and of course Hindu, and they are persecuting churches. Previously, nobody cared. Muslims were there, Christians were there, and, you know, Hindus were doing their thing. But now, suddenly, people are being killed for being Christians in India. And that is going to be the trend. Because the reason I'm saying India is because India is a true democracy. Okay? A true democracy, people vote and what. But somehow they are clamping down on that. Now, of course, we heard about China and how they... I was seeing it on BBC the other day and how many churches they've raised down in China in the last few years. Now, of course, China is changing so much because it feels it has to dominate the world and be the new world power after America. And it is going to be, because the scripture says the dragon gave them power. The dragon is the devil, but it's also China. Now, so it has to, all these things they are doing in Africa, taking over all the resources here and what, is to do, to become a world power in a short time. Now, the one thing all those people have is that every single thing is sacrificed for the purpose of making China the biggest power in the world. Now, people individually don't matter. If you have to be killed, you'll be killed. China has to be on top. You understand? Eh? So even they themselves. So now when their president, Xi Jinping, decided to remove term limits so that he becomes emperor, like the whole, you know, all of them were clapping for him, man. Because it is not about them. It's not about individual ambitions that also you get off. I also want to be prime. No, for them it is about this man has the power now to take on the West. So let's not interrupt him. Let him rule. Chisanja hakuna mchezo. So they removed the term limits. And now the first thing the man did after that is starting clamping down on churches. Now, because unlike the churches in some of these places where people are free to worship, the church in India are very spiritual. Like they are deeply, because they grew up in spirituality. They have never had this secularism and what. So somebody comes from spirituality the other side, and when he converts to Christianity, he does not remain in the middle. He does not settle for religion. He cannot. So they go deep into Christian spirituality. So now their prayers are affecting provinces. Now, then suddenly, Muslims rise up against them. Muslims are also a very small minority in India. But they are a minority that can attack another minority. Then Buddhists come up against them. Then churches are being burned down. Women are being threatened and, you know, all those things. And then, so it's in China, it's in Japan, it's in India, it is in South Sudan, it is in Rwanda, it is in Zambia. It would have been in Uganda if we had not fought it. Now, some people were wondering, why are you doing that? Why are you getting political? Let me tell you something. The scripture says they frustrated the word of the king. Now, if the king says something, and it is contrary to what God says, I am going to stand up and frustrate the word of the king. Now, you have to be, everybody has to be ready for that kind of Christianity. Because the end time we are living in is not going to be, that worked some time ago for those who died then, eh? And are now in heaven. But for us, you have to stand up. Because the devil is going to try to use politics, but we will not let him. Praise the Lord. So the king says, and people have frustrated the kings from way back. You remember the midwives in the book of Exodus? The king told them, kill the Jews. And the midwife says, we are not going to kill them. And the Bible says, God dealt well with them. Because they disobeyed the king. Amen? Now, also us, we are going to frustrate the word of the king. So you stand up before the most powerful. And I want you to know how much. Okay, for you to understand what all this is. Nebuchadnezzar ruled for 43 years in Babylon. Alone. And in those 43 years, he did things which even astounded people who lived 300 years after him. Because, you remember the hanging gardens in Babylon? One of the seven wonders of the world, the old seven wonders of the world, right there in the city of Babylon. That city was so big, 40 miles square, that would be big even by today's standards. Is Kampala 40 miles square? The city? Do you understand? Eh? 40 miles, then 40 miles. Then 40 miles, then 40 miles. Huh? So is Kampala that big? Okay, at least not the central business district. So that's how big Babylon was. And the walls, the walls of the city were so thick, almost 140 feet, that two chariots, that's the thickness, not the height, thickness, that two chariots would ride on the walls around the city, like this. One side by side, you know, not horses, chariots, a number of horses and, you know, and then here another on the wall up. And it was so high and the city was so magnificent. He actually built it over the Euphrates River. Can you believe that? Technology, which has even eluded, I think, countries like ours. Eh? Okay. But built it over the river. You know the way London is, the Thames, eh? Where they, you know, and the man, he had bridges over it, and such magnificence. And now when he went and, when he would go and conquer people, what he did, this is how he did it, he would go and conquer people and bring their best craftsmen, their best, masons, the best workers from all the empires that he conquered, and then bring them to Babylon and help them build his great city. Now, the man was so full of himself, because he's a picture of the Antichrist, that actually, archaeologists who excavated that city, Babylon, found that 90% of the bricks which were used to build the whole city had his name, Nebuchadnezzar the Great, king of Babylon. Every brick had to be inscribed with his name. Now, there is somebody who really believed in himself, eh? And who thought this is... But what he did was like, I don't think there's anybody who can have as much power and as much wealth, okay, after him, as Nebuchadnezzar did at that time. So now when he... So this is the sort of man whom Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego come and say that let it be, you do as you see fit. We are not going to worship your gods. Neither are we going to serve you. Put us in the fire. And the scriptures, and you remember the man liked them because he said, is it true that you've refused to do this? If you say it is not true, then I will leave you. So he was even willing to discount the fact that the people had come and told him, these guys are not worshipping. So they had the chance to redeem themselves. I said, no, actually they are lying. It is, says, okay. He says, if you worship my gods, then okay. But if you not, then they answer and say, there is no need for us to even answer you. We are not going to. Now, there is no man in the world today that can have as much power as Nebuchadnezzar did. Because there is no empire as big as his was. Okay? Even when it was divided in two, those empires were so big. And yet it was just half of what Babylon was. And they stood up to the man's face and said, it's not going to happen. You're joking. Put us in the fire. Now, they frustrated the word of the king and yielded their bodies that they should not serve or worship any god except their god. Now, you know, last Friday when I came here, I walked for the first time. I actually walked through the congregation, and I do that to feel the vibes that are coming out of the congregation. And the truth is, so many of you people. Now, somebody actually even noticed it and told me, so many people are not yet ready for the rapture, and I can sense that when I walk. I'm telling you. And this is the thing. All the people that I know who have dreamt when the rapture happened and they were left behind, it was like that because they had not submitted their purposes and their plans to the Lord. They still had so many, you know. they were plotting this and that. They had a lot of roots in the earth. So these guys, when they come out, then Nebuchadnezzar says to anybody who does not worship, you know that story. Then another one, there is in Daniel chapter 4, he has that tree. And then Daniel tells him, you are that tree. Now when he comes out of there, he calls Daniel to interpret. Then when Daniel had the dream of the king, the Bible says he kept quiet and he was astonished for 1 hour. He could not answer. He just had the... Then, after 1 hour of the king waiting, the king told Daniel that, let not the dream trouble you or its interpretation. You tell it to me. Then Daniel told him, this is what the dream means. You're going to be cut down. You know that. Turned into an animal for 7 years. Now, the kingdom, the empire that sustained everybody, cut down for 7 years. And in those 7 years, the great Nebuchadnezzar is an animal. Actually, let me tell you, there is a scientific sickness which is associated with schizophrenia, which actually makes somebody think that they are an animal. So all these Bible things actually are scientific. You know? Like, it is presented in the Bible in a certain way, but actually, there is often, like, something which explains it. For instance, I told you this. When Jesus is crucified, there is darkness between midday and 3 p.m. Now, when you check back all those years back using these NASA things, there was a year around 26 or 27 AD when on the Passover day, there was an eclipse, a total solar eclipse that covered the whole of the Middle East between midday and 3 p.m. So now, of course, the Bible will not say there's an eclipse. It just says there was darkness. But you can... Now, all these things, by the way, there is some kind of explanation. You understand? They are supernatural, but there is a way in which they can be explained. Anyhow, so this man becomes an animal. He gets that thing, that sickness. 7 years. Now, but what does that 7 years mean to us? That's what I was trying to ask the Lord. And then I got the understanding that actually the cutting down of the empire that ruled the world. You know, all these things have their parallels in the times we are living in. Everything to do with Nebuchadnezzar is a parallel before the Antichrist. Now, the time that we are living in is a time when we are given a period, and I told you it started some years ago, of 7 years in which we have to completely get off the Babylonian system. Remember, the system was just weakened, and as Nebuchadnezzar's thing was, the tree was cut down and was tied with bronze and iron, but somehow the roots remained in the ground and the stump remained, so that it can regrow, which it did, eventually. Now, there's a period in which we have to get off this Babylonian system. Praise the Lord. Now, and there is nobody who has taught people how to get off the Babylonian system like I have. And I have taught and I have taught. Some people will get off it, others will not. But you have to determine to get off it. Because when the Antichrist comes and you're in his system, and this persecution comes, and you're even this healing we're talking about, I told you before, if you have any sickness and you are depending on those people's chemicals, they will get you from there. You have to be in a position where I don't need anything from them. My money comes supernaturally. Okay? One way or the other. That doesn't mean not through a job. Through a job, but supernaturally. You can have a job and you're not dependent on it. Like, you have to get off that system. And you have to know that my job is not my sustenance. My business is not my sustenance. My sustenance is from the Lord. And then you put those principles in place and they always work. Now, when you've sorted that and you've sorted the healing thing and there is nothing you need from them, then let their system come. Praise the Lord. Then you'll be able to stand up and frustrate the word of the king. Now, when we were fighting that time, there was some pastor who said that, you leave me alone, my ministry is not registered. So you see, he still has something that is, you know? Or you leave me, there's something you feel, you're scared of some kind of persecution. Now, if you're like that, by the way, you're living in the wrong time. Maybe it's about time you died and went to heaven. Because the time we are living in, there is no time for being scared. Because you wait, you see, it has, people were arrested in Rwanda for insisting on praying. Amen? There was a pastor who was telling, I had this story, in 1979, they arrested them, Christians, the pastors, they arrested them and put them in prison. And then they were all going to be killed because, Amin had banned this Pentecostalism. So they were all going to be killed. And they knew it. So now, but at that time somehow, the war was raging around Masaka, Mutukula and all that. So the Tanzanians were coming. So somehow the whole soldiers, everybody ran left here to go and fight. And those people, even the prisons, they were not being fed. So they were hungry. So they were on a forced fast. And they prayed that government comes down. And they cried to the Lord and said, Lord, this government has to come down. Now let me tell you something. Amin had weapons which could have destroyed those Tanzanians. Don't you ever think that he was a fool to attack Tanzania. He was not a fool. He was a military general. He knew what he had. Okay? But when people have not eaten for 4 days and they are crying out to their God, even the Tanzanians were shocked at how easy it was. And the next thing they take over. And then there was a picture of pastors who had spent days without eating, coming out all looking like this, but rescued. And in all that time, they said they cried out to the Lord that we are not going to die of hunger here. Everybody in the prison was what? And they cried out to the Lord that this government comes down. Now, when you arrest somebody who has God in him, you pull out a certain energy in them, which has been inactive because they were busy taking latte and cappuccino. You understand? Eh? Now, when they are on the wall, let me tell you that, There is an instinct in every person for self-protection. And you have to be in a position where you're threatened for that thing to come out. Otherwise, somehow it's locked up somewhere. I'll tell you this, and this shocked me. I remember when I was young, my elder brother, where I was staying in the neighbors, there was a guy who had very, very tough dogs. Very tough dogs. Like 4 big and tough dogs. But he also had very beautiful daughters. So, my brother, I was young, so my brother felt that it was worth the risk. So he went into their fence. I don't know how he did it. He went through the gate somehow. I think they kind of opened for him and what. Now, he was there and they opened for him the dogs. So the dogs came running at him. And he ran towards our fence. And he jumped the fence. If he did it again, he would win an Olympic medal. I'm telling you the truth. The fence was high like this. I know Olympic gold medalists cannot jump it. But when your life is in danger, the things you can do, and that's how we are all wired. When your life is in danger, you can pull out something which you never knew was in you. The guy jumped over the fence, and even he couldn't believe how he did it. But the dogs were right behind him, and they were going to tear him to pieces. So he ran. And if he could do it in, like again, Olympic gold. Now, praise the Lord. So now when you put somebody in a place where their life is in danger, you put out something inside them. Now somebody, you wait, you'll see. Some of these people who are persecuting Christians, you will see. Like the Bible says that Herod killed James, and he saw that it pleased the Jews. Then he also caught Peter and intended to kill him. But now the believers said, how are we going to stand here and let this man kill? You know? So it says they prayed night and day. Now that prayer of desperation gives birth to something. Now not only was Peter released, but Herod died. Now I'm telling you what's going to happen. Now Peter is released miraculously, which is part of the prayer. So the next day they look for him and they can't find him. But then people come, and now God sets these things up. So Herod calls the people of Tyre and Sidon and gives them food. And then they say, the voice of a god and not of a man. And then he starts rotting from inside and he dies. And the Bible says immediately, the word of the Lord spread. You know, these things, you open it, that, okay. So we are in a period of 7 years, which started, I think, about 2015. Don't ask me why. Go ahead. The voice of a god and not of a man. And then immediately an angel of the Lord struck him because he did not give glory to God. And he was eaten by worms and died. Next. But the word of the Lord grew and multiplied. So some people have to die. So the word of God is what? So if somebody puts himself to be used by the devil, he's going to die. Do you understand? If he has set himself up, I told you the other Nigerian guys who wanted to start, that pastor, they wanted to start open a branch somewhere in a place which has so many Muslims. So the governor of that state said, they are not going to open this church here. They are not. He said, over my dead body. The governor said, over his dead body. They are not going to open it. So they went ahead and built the church and arranged the openings, the ceremony and what? Meanwhile, the governor was promising it is not going to happen over his dead body. Now, a week before it, I think a few days before it happened, the governor was putting on his trouser and he put one foot in one leg and put the next foot in the same leg and tripped and fell and hit his head and died. And the church was opened. Now the pastor was just telling the story, laughing. He said, over his dead body, he was buried yesterday. Now here we are. Praise the Lord. Now this is serious stuff. Okay. But the word of God multiplied. Now go back to Luke 13. I want to show you something. But they were present at the season, some who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answered and said to them, do you suppose that these Galileans were worse sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you'll all likewise perish. Now listen to this. So they are telling him, these people, there was a bit of a revolt. And Pilate was the representative of the Romans. So there's a small revolt. And when these people go to offer their sacrifices, some people, by sheer misfortune, Pilate gets them to make them an example and kills them and mingles their blood with their sacrifice. Because you know what Rome would do, and Israel was under Rome at that time, what Rome would do, they put a governor in that place. If there is a revolt in your province, you're called to Rome and you're fired, sometimes killed. So you had to keep order within your jurisdiction. So Pilate was the man who had to keep order because he was the representative of Rome in this place. So when there is a revolt and people say we don't want to pay taxes to Rome, he shows them, let me show you how Romans deal with it. So he got people, there were so many people sacrificing, but he somehow got a few just to use them as an example. Now, so these people come and tell Jesus, as in, what a misfortune. Can you imagine? Okay, let's go ahead. All those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse sinners than all the other men who dwelt in Jerusalem? Now, here is what I'm saying is pure misfortune, what you would call misfortune. There is a tower being built, and it falls and kills 18 people. You understand? Eh? Misfortune. There was an accident on Masaka Road, and Bambi, even the guy who died was not even in the wrong. The bus was overtaking at a wrong corner, and the guy died. And you're like, Bambi, a misfortune. You see, eh? And it looks like it is random, and it looks like it could have happened to anybody, and people believe it, you know? So the bus overtook at that corner. It could have been anybody else. It could have been somebody else. But Jesus is telling them that even the misfortunes have, there is a law, there is a spiritual law even for that. You understand? Eh? And this is the law that I'm telling you here today. That these people, it's not just by, you know, bad luck that somebody happened to be there when they, what? I remember when I was, sometime I was, yeah, in Mbale, when they, you know, that thing really shocked me because it was close to where I was. Two things shocked me at that time. First of all, there was this guy. These NRA people had taken over Mbale, and I was around that place. And they were walking, heading now towards Soroti. And there were many people of them walking and singing and what. And one guy was hit by a stray bullet on the head, and he dropped dead in a moment of victory. And I'm like, how unfortunate. You've been fighting from, you know, the West. You came through Katonga. You came through Kampala. And you're hit by not even, like, I mean, the enemies are running, but a stray bullet hits you and you die. Then another incident happened also that time when I was in Mbale. There was a man called Okumu who had been part of the UNLA, a very notorious man who had killed people in cold blood, and he had terrorized the whole of Mbale. And somehow when these NRA people came, the man ran, and people had you somewhere in the north. Now, people are saying, Okumu, everybody say, man, Okumu, Okumu, man, what Okumu did, Okumu. Now, somehow, one day, I was in hospital, there in Mbale, and a man came, and somehow he had been wounded in Soroti. The war was in Soroti now. The man had been wounded in Soroti, and he came, and he was on a hospital bed right there in Mbale. And I was seeing this, I have never forgotten it since. It was so shocking because he had a beard like the one of Okumu. So somebody just came and said, Okumu! Like just like that. Within a matter of, I don't know how long, it was like I was seeing a vision. Eh? People gathered from somewhere. They dragged the guy off the bed. The man was pleading. By the way, I looked in his face and I knew this is not Okumu. Because somebody who is, I knew this is an innocent person. You can tell somebody who is hardened. Eh? Like, and then you can tell somebody, the man was pleading, I'm not the one. They could have checked the hospital records. They could have done anything. But they did not want to. They dragged the man outside when I was seeing with my eyes. And they put him in the compound of the hospital. And I turned to look away when a guy was holding a brick like this on the guy's head. I said, I don't want to see this because it would have stayed with me for very long. Eh? But they hammered the guy, and within a short time, like I don't know how, within a short time somebody had rushed to the petrol station, got fuel, poured on the guy, and they torched him. By the time they got to that, I'd moved the distance and I was just seeing the smoke because I didn't want the trauma. Eh? I was a young man. I didn't want the trauma of seeing somebody being burnt alive. Then 2 days later, Okumu was heard doing something in Guru and he was still alive. And everybody was like, poor man. He was not the guy. And they had killed the guy very badly. And I could see, I was there in the hospital, I could see the man pleading, and I knew he wasn't the one. You can just tell somebody's, anyhow. So, this thing, now, Jesus is saying, even misfortune has a rule to it. Eh? Okay, so now these people are walking and the tower falls. So then an accident. Then we're trying to cut off people at work. Then there is this, then there is that. You know, somehow somebody seems to have this misfortune. But Jesus says, do you think they were worse sinners than those who survived? Is it on the basis of sin? And he says, no. But he says, goes on to say, unless you repent. Now, the repent he's talking about is not, I'm sorry, Lord, you know, this is changing your mind about certain things. Then he goes on to say, I tell you no, but unless you repent, you'll all likewise perish. So, now here, he's explaining this thing. Eh? And you have to understand now this is the law. Eh? Immediately after he says, I tell you no, but okay, the next. He also spoke this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it, and found none. Then he said to the keeper of his vineyard, look, 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why does it use up my ground? But he answered and said to him, sir, let alone this year, until I dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit, well. But if not, after that you can cut it down. Now what is Jesus saying? Let me tell you something. Anybody who is living a purposeful life cannot die. I can tell you that. Let me tell you this. Eh? When you are in the middle of some purpose, and it doesn't even have to be of God. Now, I'll tell you, there are people like Henry Kissinger and what. Guys are living up to 100 years. But because they are fulfilling a purpose of the enemy. But when you are in the business of taking people to their eternal destinations, one way or the other, heaven or hell, somehow you don't die before your time. Somehow you will not be in a plane which crashes, which what? Now, there are those people, Jesus says, that this one is wasting, in this parable, this one is wasting our ground, not bearing any fruit. Chop it down. Then the guy says, no. Let's give them 2018 and see if they bear fruit. Praise the Lord. I'm telling you, like, have you ever, now, by this thing, Jesus is saying that when somebody is in, do you know the people who usually fall in those calamities? These people, I'm going to enjoy life over what? Eh? I'm going to have a blast and what? Like, and there's even another parable which I'm not going to, you remember the parable of the rich fool? He says, whose ground produced a lot. And he said, what shall I do? I know what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build others and then sit down and say, my soul, just have a blast, eh? Like you have everything you need. And then Jesus says, that very night the Lord says, you fool, your soul is going to be required of you. Praise the Lord. Now there is no way you are going to hear that the watchman was in an accident. It cannot happen. Do you understand? Eh? I'm on purpose and I'm in the business of sending people to their eternal destination, which is heaven. Do you understand? Eh? Now it cannot happen. Do you understand? There is no way. The misfortune, when I pass, is when the world will fall, if it's going to fall. It has to wait for me to pass. Because I have to fulfill a purpose on earth. Eh? And that purpose ensures that I stay here. Praise the Lord. Eh? Now, everybody who has a purpose, whatever it is, you'll see. Those misfortunes somehow get on certain people. Eh? And this is what Jesus was saying here. Immediately after this parable, he says, do you think that those people were worse sinners? And the issue here is not that I'm righteous. The issue is that I'm doing something. Now, even those people whom you see who are sending people to hell, as long as they have a purpose, those guys die at 100. Because they are busy doing something. And they have to fulfill. Because, listen, if I was going to preach to millions of people and they get saved, and I die now, how is God going to judge me? I was in the process. I was doing what I'm supposed to do. Do you understand? So he has to wait for me to finish. Eh? So for judgment, it's people who have finished their work. Like now all they are left is to eat. Then the spiritual principle says, you're wasting ground. Chop them down. You're taking ground. Now, even the other side, even in the other side, if somebody still has to send people to hell, God has to wait for him to finish his judgment so that he goes to the deepest hell. It's not even God. It is just a system. This is not about God or not God. There are these things which are set in the, as spiritual laws. Do you understand? So now, people, when you get in the thick of purpose, as all of you are going to do, say amen. When you get in the thick of purpose, and you're not just sitting there thinking about the very best things, I want to do this, I want to do that. When you're in the business of getting something in the kingdom done, eh? Like there's nothing that can, you can't die. It cannot happen. Do you understand? It cannot happen. Now, I'll tell you that. It can be I'm in the business of, you know, finance, dominion, because you're still part of God's jigsaw. Now, how can God, how can you die? Eh? Misfortune. It's not possible. So this is what Jesus was telling them. Unless you understand the way these things work, you be there, and somebody, you know, and you've heard these things. Eh? It wasn't his fault. The traitor is the one which did what? Then over what? The guys. You look at their lives. You'll see. I want to build a bigger house. I want to do this and other. All of them are earthly things. So your judgment is ready. There is nothing else you're going to add in eternity. You're not going to save any other person. You're not going to heal any other person. Do you understand? Eh? You're only going to eat and build the house and what? So they might as well judge you now. But if the watchman is going to bring, you know, a million other people to Christ, eh? Do you understand? Eh? And I'm in the process of doing it. I'm on God's purpose. And I'm heading there. My judgment is not ready. So I cannot die. Say amen for me.
Amen.
No, for you, for you, for you.
Amen.
So say amen for me.
Amen.
Say amen for me.
Amen for me.
Yes. So if all you're left to do is to chill and what, you know, and buy what, before I die, I have to drive that car. Does that add to your judgment? So you might as well go now. So this man who said, ah man, let me just chill. Eh? In Luke 12, let me just chill and say, show us that last verse and I finish. Praise the Lord. Go ahead. Yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I'll pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool. Now that is the definition of a fool. This night, your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be for which you have provided? In other words, you have nothing else to offer life apart from eating and drinking. Glory to God. Some of you are scared, eh? No, but you must not be, eh? Because at least you're going to give money for the watchman. At least you're going to bring somebody to salvation. At least you're going to pray for somebody who is sick. So if God takes you now, who is going to pray for that person? Praise the Lord, eh? But the reason I'm saying this is to stir you up, to find your purpose in life. So that you are not, when people are thinking about best things, about which car I'm going to drive, which house, which things, of course, you also think about. Eh? But they are not the most important things. You're also thinking about, how am I bringing people into the end time harvest? How is what I'm doing adding to the whole thing of end time harvest? Then you're consumed with that. Then that becomes your passion. Then you find your purpose in the whole plan of God. And then if you don't have it, if you're not sure exactly where you fit, do this. Go and pray about it, and God will show you. Amen? So say exactly where. Some people, it might just be you are raising a child. And maybe that child is going to be something powerful. And the child needs you. Praise the Lord. Amen? Remember that story I told you of Ken Dajin, of the guy when he told God that, I want to give you 5 reasons why this man cannot die. Eh? And God listened to him and the man came back. But the interesting thing is that when the man came back, he said, he remembers falling off a high floor, but he does not remember hitting the ground. That is something that some of you have to know. Eh? When you're born again, you don't suffer when you die. Eh? Your spirit has already gone. Praise the Lord. Do you understand that? Eh? Do you know that? Eh? There is no suffering. Like you what, you know, if, for instance, something was to happen and you're born again, before the impact and the pain, you're already gone. And it's just that body there, which is, so there's nothing. Eh? So the guy doesn't say, I fell down. No, he just remembers he fell off. That's the last thing he remembers. No pain. The next thing he knows is in heaven. And even the martyrs, by the way, who were martyred in the first century, those people were fed to lions. The records of those people who had some of them, all of them were saying, as soon as the first drop of blood falls, you're out. Like there's almost no pain. When the lion comes, when it's going to what? Like, God is not going to wait for the lion to first tear. No. It just tears the body. As soon as it thinks, your spirit has gone. You're in heaven. So the body is left there. So God makes sure there is no pain. Eh? Yeah. Now that is going to settle some of you. Eh? But then you're not going to die. Eh? Somebody says, I'm not going to die. Eh? Because I'm a purposeful person. Say it again. I'm not going to die. Because I'm a purposeful person. So if you have some more worship songs to sing, how can you die? Who is going to sing them? Amen? Yeah, you have to sing them. Eh? Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God.
May your kingdom be established in our praise.
Anybody who is sick, just stand up. Let's pray for anybody who is sick.
Declare mighty words. Blessed be
what are you suffering from?
Lord.
Yeah? Cough and flu. You stand in faith and get over those cough and flus. Anybody who is sick of something? Come. What are you suffering from? Eh? Uh-huh. Now, no more ulcers. Eh? Go in front. Anybody ulcers? Anybody painful periods? What? Eh? You don't have to come forward. Eh? If your ulcers come forward, painful periods, you stay there. You don't want to reveal your secrets. Stand there. Huh? Any ulcers? How long have you been attending the Watchman?
A month.
A month, eh? And you?
Since last year, in the beginning of last year. Yes.
And how come you still have ulcers?
No, I don't know whether it's ulcers, but it's abdominal pains which are not predictable. They can disappear like for more than 2 months. Then again, they come back.
And how long have you been attending the Watchman?
Last year.
How come you still have ulcers? Okay. We burn ourselves from this place, eh? Officially. Somebody say amen.
Yeah.
They are burned. Eh? So now, they are illegally in your house. Amen? Also your ulcers?
No. Me, I'm 100%. I'm standing in the gap for a mother of a friend who is suffering from kidney problems.
A mother of a friend?
Yes.
That will not work. You called a friend. If it was your mother or your relative, it would work. You understand? So you called a friend, we'll pray for the mother. In the name of Jesus, Father, I rebuke those ulcers and I command them to dry up in your body. In the name of Jesus. What's your name? I command them to dry up in your body. In the body of Josephine. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And yours? What's your name?
Michael.
Okay, and yours? What's your name?
Francis Ikara.
Okay, Michael. Roka Santeri, she throws on the praying tongues. Do you know your purpose? You know your ministry purpose.
I know.
You're called into ministry.
Mm.
What ministry?
Healing ministry.
Huh?
Healing ministry is called the mansion.
No, I'm saying your ministry, not the ministry where you come from. Okay. Your specific purpose.
My purpose.
Pray, Tom. Hold my hand. Now you're working under some ministry. Eh? What do you do there?
Okay, I know I'm called to be.
No. Okay, forget about that now. You're supposed to start your own, eh? In 2018, eh? You're supposed to start your own in 2018, eh? And you have to start in 2018, eh? Serious purpose, Okay, which church is that? Where you attend? No church. You don't go to any church?
No, I don't.
Okay.
I don't go to any church.
Which was the last church you attended?
It was called the Disciples Church. Disciples Church.
Okay, and what's your church going to be called?
Mansions.
Mansions, eh? So you know you are supposed to start a church.
I know.
Okay. Yes. Amen. I thought you didn't know. But you know, that's what you were saying, eh?
Yes,
in your tongues.
Mm. Eh? I didn't know.
Why do you think I was listening to your tongues? Okay. Yourself? Okay, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke those pains and they come back no more. In Jesus' name. Eh? Amen. Amen. Okay, we'll stop there now. And any other sickness? Okay, the periods also have... Anybody who is suffering from painful periods, eh? The next time that I rebuke them, eh, in the name of Jesus, and they shall not be painful any longer, and they shall be stable, they shall not be unpredictable. Eh? Even that includes very unpredictable ones. Out of nowhere it shows up. Eh? They shall be predictable in the name of Jesus. Eh? Father, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke every curse that causes that. In Jesus' name, everything, every spiritual effect that causes uneven painful periods, in the name of Jesus, and even painful ones, I rebuke it. And I decree that all those people now have peaceful periods. Eh? Peaceful periods in the name of Jesus. Eh? Peaceful periods in Jesus' name. Amen. Some people have come and told me how this no longer even take painkillers and what, and yet they used to have a whole stack of painkillers as if they have now nothing. Eh? Amen. Okay. Now, I told you about our Facebook. We don't want to pay money to that demonic guy, but want to use his platform. So now what you're going to do is when we put up our posters announcing things, Holy Communion service and what, just share. That's the easiest thing you can do. You can like and share. Amen. That might be the purpose that saves you from what I'm joking. But that is preaching the gospel, eh? So you have something, you have business, eh? I remember I watched there was this drama series, and some guy was beaten as if left for dead, and then he pretended to be dead, then he woke up and rose, then he said that Mfanti has seen a biakora. Now, by the way, that is true. Eh? It sounds like comedy, but it's true. Like, there is a lot you have to do. Eh? your judgment has to be stayed, because there are still so many more people you have to do what? To bring to the Lord, to heal and so on. And I release a blessing upon you. In the name of Jesus, Father, I release a blessing upon each and every person who connects here this day. In the name of Jesus. Father, I speak promotions. I speak divine connections to destiny in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I speak business connections. Business connections. I'm seeing somebody traveling. In the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you. Because that person who is pursuing a travel, it comes to pass in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father. It comes to pass in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Somebody who is planning to travel to Brussels or something. I'm here. I heard the word Brussels. In the name of Jesus, I release that in Jesus' name. It comes to pass. I thank you, Father, because there is a quickening of people's financial destinies. There is a quickening in the name of Jesus, because it has to happen. It has to happen this year. So now some people are going to see a complete, total acceleration of their financial destinies. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Father, because these people see it in Jesus' name, and their lives are transformed in the name of Jesus. And they know how to appropriate this blessing. They know how to receive it. In the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you. I thank you. I bless your name. I bless your name. Rosha kabrazante lebeshilo krozon torvoshira. Ribazante kwakarasi toro shalamazintal bashoko krozante lebeshila. Romazantal bashoko krozon torvoshala mrazantal bashila mrazantal. Somebody is trying to get a house, I think to buy one or something like that. In the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you for a quickening in Jesus' name. A process which is, you know, you already have the house in mind, and Rika Brazante Beshiro Krozante Bahra Sitor Bushika Mrazinta. Bless your name, O Father. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you, Lord. I thank you. I thank you for increase. I thank you for increase. 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 In Jesus' name. I thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.